Hey there, my name is Josh, and welcome back to the Behind the Skies podcast. In this episode, I sit down with producer NK Music, who currently, to date, has 76,000 subscribers on YouTube, almost 150,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, and makes some of my favorite lo-fi beats. Our conversation today is more question-based, and I just rattle off a bunch of small questions and ideas to get an idea of who NK is and his music and workflow. Enjoy the show. Today, I'm joined with NK Music. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. So I guess we can just jump right in. I guess the people are curious, how did you start producing? Like, where did NK Music originate from?
Well, I started the channel in 2014. I was 14 at the time. I just watched this old Hobson video. I don't really like his art anymore, but he did have a video up back in the day where he was producing on FL Studio. He was making some beats for one of his studio albums. I remember watching it, and I thought it was kind of like the coolest thing, just kind of seeing him make it. And then I just downloaded the free version of FL Studio. And yeah, that's pretty much how it started.
The rest was history after that, huh?
The rest was history a little bit.
So you said you've been at it since 2014.
Yeah, I took a break, though, in 2017. I did it for, like, 3 years. Well, yeah, I did it for 3 years, and I took, like, a year-long break, and then I came back.
Okay. When did you start seeing, like, numbers coming? Like, when did you kind of start gaining traction?
Once I came back, because I wasn't doing it correctly the first time. I wasn't really, like, I don't know. Whenever I started posting more consistently and posting stuff that was actually, like, not garbage. But, I mean,
Did you take that year to, like, work on music, or did you just take the whole year off in general?
Well, I didn't. I was really young, so I didn't really know what I was going to do. I wasn't really kind of, I guess I kind of just lost passion for it, really. And then I just came back because I wanted to see if it was actually possible to make it work. So, like, a lot of people, like you got, like, 20,000 subs in, like, under a year, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a crazy ride.
Yeah, it took me, like, 4 years to get there. It's crazy. But, I mean, it's because I was, like, lazy at the start, you know? I wasn't grinding.
Gotcha. Was it always, like, because you do primarily lo-fi, at least now you do. Was it always, like, in the lo-fi genre?
When I started, yeah, it was a bit of lo-fi. I was really sample heavy, like actually like samples, wasn't not like Splice or anything like that. And then whenever I learned about Splice, that's whenever I started to blow up a little bit. Because with Splice, I could just put out beat after beat after beat really, really quick. And then I was able to do the one a day thing, one beat a day. And then eventually one of them just blew up. But yeah, originally it was just lo-fi, and then I started doing a bunch of everything, really, and then now I'm back to lo-fi, because that's what was doing good numbers last year.
Yeah, it's with the people, gotta give the people what they want.
Exactly.
Over, like, the last, I guess, since 2014, 6 years now, have you had any, like, major placements, or just kind of smaller artists here and there?
I actually don't have any placements. I don't know why. I just kind of, I've never really seeked out placements or anything, and no one's really, like, hit me up for placements. So it's just a bunch of small artists, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've had a couple people, you know, hit me up, but they're kind of never really too serious about it.
Yeah. That's how it is.
At the end of the day, I mean, we talked about this a couple of days ago, but when did you transition into also putting out beat tapes on Spotify? When did you start doing that?
I did that, I think it was this year, 2020, I believe. It was sometime early this year. It might have been really, really late last year, but I just kind of was thinking that I could spread my music to other platforms and kind of open my net for more revenue and stuff like that. I just thought it was a good idea to try to put, you know, be my own artist, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, making type beats is fun, but you do want to expand that horizon as far as you possibly can.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you put the beats, the same beats you put on YouTube, on Spotify, or are they separate beats?
My solo projects, yeah, they're mostly stuff off of YouTube. But whenever I'm collabing with artists, it's usually stuff that's separate from YouTube and just solo stuff.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Just what you said, you posted, I think you still do, you post like 1 to 2 beats a day, right?
Mm-hmm. I try to, at least.
How much of your day do you work on music? Because for me, I don't know, like, sometimes the projects take me 2 or 3 days, but I'm a lot slower, like, we're a lot slower.
Yeah. It kind of depends, really. Usually I send the melodies I have out to people to get live played, like saxophone on it or something like that. So once I get the saxophone on it, it's kind of pretty quick. It usually takes me 1 hour or 2 hours. If the mix is really muddy and I'm struggling with that, maybe 3, but usually it doesn't take me very long.
Gotcha. So to kind of just be like, get something real quick, make some melodies, throw some drums on it, and then, finalize it and put it up.
Yeah, it's easy because I guess my mixing is very simple because it's lo-fi, so it can be dirty intentionally. So I don't have to try to focus that hard on stuff.
No, exactly. 90% of the time, when I used to use a lot of more splice samples, it would be kind of messing the samples up on purpose, so it fit that.
Exactly, genre. Yeah.
But that does make it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But I think lo-fi, in the aspect you're in, at least, you can... Because to your point, you can't really put trap music on Spotify and have people listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think being able to do that is definitely if you can diversify, if you can turn one beat into a sample pack and then put it on Spotify, if you can make one beat work in 5 different ways, that's 5 streams of revenue for one beat.
Yeah, exactly. Lo-fi has its benefits. Trap, I guess, it's more trendy, but lo-fi has some of its benefits, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like trap you might hit more placements or bigger artists.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of all, at the end of the day, it's all personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
What's your ultimate goal? You have, I think, as today, 76,000 subscribers, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is your goal with music? Where do you want to be in a year from now or even longer down the road?
Well, I didn't even think I'm probably going to get 100K soon, so I didn't think I'd even get there, which is crazy.
And then you get the plaque, which is pretty sick.
I know. I'm actually really hyped for that. But
yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't even know what my goal is, really. It's just kind of, I guess the goal the entire time has been to just be able to sustain myself with music. As long as I'm doing that, mm-hmm. I guess I'm happy. I don't really have any long-term goals.
Main ones. And with music, I feel like it's always changing so much with what plugins you're using, what
mm-hmm.
streams you're using to get it out there. Tomorrow it could be YouTube and then Spotify. You never really know what's gonna happen. So I guess
it's ever changing.
That makes it a little harder.
Who even knows if Type Beats will be around in 3 years?
Exactly. I don't know. Production will always be around, and having that catalog will be good. But it's
it's weird.
Will that be around? Yeah, that is sometimes a little nerve wracking.
I think about it a lot.
Yeah, because for me, I think the ultimate goal would be start working with obviously major artists, because that's kind of more long term, where you make one song a month and you generate more revenue with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's the ultimate goal. But
eventually we're gonna have to switch to trap or something to do that.
I know. Yeah, because maybe people stop listening to emotional music.
For real.
Do you, when you're making your beats, do you ever have days where it's you can't, just beat block? I guess you could call it beat block. Struggle with getting things done or don't even want to work that day? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, absolutely. It happens a lot. It's best to take a break, but I it's always hard for me to just stop doing it. I usually just keep doing it and keep working at it until I get something. But yeah, lately it's been happening every other day, really, because I post so much. Oh, right. So it's it's gonna happen a lot when I'm trying to do it every
day. When you're trying to put out, especially when you're trying to put out quality work as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
it could be difficult to put out a banger every day.
What's
it called, do you when you have beat block I guess you said you walk away. Is like that your best way to deal with it? Is kind of just remove yourself from whatever's going on?
Yeah, taking a break is definitely the best thing because you can just get your mind off it. A lot of times when you take a, I mean, at least when I take a break, I can come back and I can see just a complete, you know, what I actually want for the beat or if the beat was even good to begin with. You know, weird when your brain is kind of focused on something, you kind of like get tunnel vision on it until you remove yourself.
Yeah, sometimes you do have to take that step back. Because I know we did like a lot. We've done what, 2 or 3 collaborations.
Yeah, so like maybe even 4. We did a few.
Yeah. And I think that's like one of the best ways to get over a beat block is like if you don't want to finish a whole beat and you have send someone melt, like just collaborations, I think are like the easiest way to eliminate it. Yeah, because then it's like, yeah, you got to split the money at the end of the day, but it's going to be on 2 channels. It's like, it's still going to bring in the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, beat block can be, I don't struggle with it as much now because I do a lot, like Eerie Skies is kind of like a duo thing now with my stepbrother. So we do a lot of our work together.
Mm.
Oh God, let me look at the paper.
You hear my dog barking?
Yeah, a little bit. So when you like, I mean, you obviously have had like a lot of success on YouTube, as we just kind of said. Do you like sharing that with, I guess, people outside of like your circle? Do people know that you make music and who you are and all that? Are you big on like getting that out there?
I'm not big on getting it out there, but everyone that I'm close to knows. I'm not like like a superhero or anything, but yeah. I'm not usually telling everybody about it, but yeah. If you get to know me, you'll know about it.
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, it's kind of
it's
hard
it's
to
a
keep
job.
It under wraps too. Yeah. And that's kind of like what you touched on earlier. It's a job that sometimes it's a pain in the because you'll. If I don't have anything going on that day or anything to make me stop, I won't. And
yeah.
It's like, you can go 4 or 5 days with like 13, 14 hour days and then you get to like, you're like, oh my God.
I know. Sometimes you can't even make anything and then it's just kind of, you feel like you wasted the entire day just kind of
doing nothing. You're just kind of scrolling through samples or you're just trying 40 different ideas. And sometimes, I mean, but obviously you're going to have those days like that where it's just like,
it's just this part of the job.
Yeah, that's why I was posting once a day, and I was like, I can't do this. Then I posted every other day. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on every 3 days because it's like, I don't know. I'd rather put like 2 good beats a week than, you know, half-ass it all week.
And you get like 10K a video, which is really good.
Yeah, it's been still like pretty steady.
And that's
but a lot of people. I mean, to your point, like you, I think Chase Bank, Tide, a lot of those guys can post like. Quality each day, and if you can do quality and quantity, it's game over.
I mean, you just kind of overload the YouTube algorithm. It's like a game.
Exactly. Yeah. Like when, because you have you. I mean, I think I have like the artists that I put in the title. Like Mac Miller is obviously the biggest one. Yours are, I think, what's J. Cole, Isaiah Rashad, like those types of guys.
Yeah. Every time, even if it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. So now, like when you type them in, you're the first name that comes up.
Exactly.
And for me, usually if I am gonna like, I'll kind of decide the artist before the beat gets made, so it's like I can go in that direction. But with Mac Miller, I feel like you can post anything. He's got so many.
Yeah, he's pretty diverse with his stuff. It could be really anything.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. When like you're working on your beats, how oft do you, I guess the word would be like overthink, not really overthink, but like, do you speed through it? If it sounds good, it sounds good. Or do you kind of like go back, really manipulate things, or kind of like, I guess Kenny Beats is a perfect example. It's like, don't overthink shit. Just get it done.
Yeah.
Burn through it. What is your process with that?
Well, I mean, I overthink the mixing. That's it. That's the one thing I overmix. I'm usually whenever I try to make stuff that's not lo-fi, like trap or even stuff that's like kind of like J. Cole or Kendrick, where it's like kind of a mixture of trap and hip hop a little bit. It's like kind of like catchy boom bap stuff. I really overthink the mix a lot and I kind of struggle with the drums. But when I do lo-fi, it's a bit easier. But yeah, mixing's definitely the hardest part for me, at least.
Yeah.
And I think that, leveling is the most important thing about mixing, but I'm always messing up my levels and putting, you know, sausage fattener on everything, and it's just it doesn't really work out.
When you level, do you do it strictly by ear, or will you have like a reference track similar to the genre you're working in?
I do it by ear, but I really do need a reference track. I usually just kind of do it off of my previous work and what sounded good in that beat, and see if it sounds good in this one, stuff like that. Just try.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a similar way. Like, I'll usually, if I'm making a Mac Miller type beat, it's like, okay, let me listen to Mac Miller and make sure everything hits with that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty key. Do you think that, I guess we kind of already touched on this, but like, if type beats were to disappear tomorrow, like, what would kind of be your game plan?
Well, I guess I could still do Spotify, but I'd have to get like a real job. Spotify doesn't pay the bills.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I think what do you probably need, like 500,000 and up monthly listeners probably to make any decent amount.
Yeah, maybe even 1 million.
I haven't really touched on Spotify too much. I think we talked about this the other day, but it's like, those artists do not make as much as people think they do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I mean, YouTube, you don't make too much either, but we have different streams of revenue than regular rappers, because people can buy our stuff for
exactly
much higher price than just one song. But yeah, Spotify they pay like crap.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, and at the end of the day, if you are an artist, like when it comes to paying producers and engineers, like there's a lot of people that have to get paid. So a lot of those guys don't even see most of that money, which sucks.
Unless you're really big, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, if you're really big, then it's definitely a moneymaker. Where did the name NK Music come from?
It's my name.
Oh, okay. What is your initials?
Yeah, Noah Cruz.
Gotcha, okay. I wondered that for a while.
Yeah, some people think it's North Korea. I've had people comment on my channel that stuff.
Yeah, when I was like, I'm a freshman in college. I think it was like probably like 8 months ago, me and one of my friends, before I even really got serious with type beats, were recording on one of your beats. I think it was Elevator in a dorm room. So it's kind of funny how things
Oh, that's weird.
Things go.
That's crazy.
It was because he... I remember, I think we made Yellow Lights, and he was like, oh, dude, that's the guy we used to make songs on his beats. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Man, that's funny.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Wow. That's kind of nuts. That wasn't even that long ago. Jeez.
What? The
Elevator.
You're talking about...
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Doesn't that thing have, like, what is it, 4 million views?
4 million right now, yeah. It's... Really? I don't even know how.
That's an insane amount. I mean, I think my channel has like 5.5, so it's... when it comes to beats like that, does it stay pretty consistent? Like, do you still get views on it often?
Yeah. It's still...
Oh, okay.
As long as you don't sell it, like, exclusively, you'll still get views.
Yeah, I guess for... I struggle with this. I mean, when it comes to selling exclusives, and for, I mean, any other producer who's, like, watching this, do you think it's better to hold onto the beat and make sales, or do you think exclusives are a good, I guess, way to go?
It depends. If your beat, it depends on how many views and how many sales it got the month prior and how much, you know, views it's getting. But if a beat has over 500,000 views, or even 250,000, I'm not going to sell the exclusive usually. But if it's below 50,000, I'll probably sell an exclusive for like 500 or 300. But yeah, I think that, but I mean, it's all, you know, depending on your numbers, how long the beat's been out and stuff. But I've always found that keeping a beat and not selling it is usually gives you the most profit.
Because I mean, you could sell it for years. And Stoic talked about this, last episode. Like, you can sell it for years to come.
Yeah, I can. You know, who knows how much you'll make? But I mean, it just depends.
Yeah, and I mean, you never like know when a beat is gonna like. I think.
Yeah, it's like, weird.
I had the Borrowed Time beat up for a while, and it was, you know, sit at like 30,000 views, and then just last month it jumped up to 500,000, and it's like you never really know when it's gonna blow up either.
It's very weird. It's just a random beat. It's always random like that. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many years was it? I think you might have said this, but before you like really blew up, you said you started in 2014,
and then I came back in 2017 after like a year break, and then that 2018. I posted a beat titled Noel that got 1,000,000 views. And that's the initial blow up. And then the year after, the Elevator one dropped.
Gotcha. I know when mine blew up, it kind of like what you said, like, did it translate to everything? Like all your other beats just started getting views and ticking up?
Mm-hmm.
Was it just that one beat?
It was a crazy winter last year. That beat blew up, and then I had, that one got to 4 million, another one got to 1,000,000, and then I have a few that got to, like, 500,000. It was insane. I was dropping, like, every beat was, like, had, like, a 25% chance of getting to at least 200,000. It was crazy.
The way the YouTube algorithms work are insane.
It's weird. You could
have those times where, like you're dropping stuff and it's like you're getting 20,000 views and then you're getting 1,000 views. You just really never know.
It's nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't been able to figure it out yet. But what is like your average day for producing look like? Or like I just in life in general, like do you produce all like most of the day or is it kind of just certain times of the day?
Lately I've been doing it really late at night, but usually I'll get up, I'll do homework. It's kind of been lately, I've just been sleeping a lot, but I'll usually do something and then I'll make a beat and maybe I'll play basketball, eat dinner. I usually schedule them at 8 o'clock every day, but yeah, I just try to do it. I'm not really a busy person, so I have a lot of time in the day to do it whenever.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like whenever you feel like you're inspired and you gotta go and get it done.
Yeah.
And do you post beats as you make them, or is it kind of like you got like 40 in your back pocket that you just kind of keep them coming out steady?
I post as I get them. I've tried to do that, but I kind of burn myself out because I'll make like 3 or 4 a day, and they kind of get worse progressively.
Yeah, and then it's like you have the feeling of like, oh, I got 4 beats, I'm good for the next 4 days, but it's like,
yeah, but you know,
they're never that good.
Not the best ones.
Yeah, exactly. What's it called?
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, that's what I've like switched to, cuz kind of like when my channel first blew up, it was kind of like, okay, I want to post as much as I can to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I kind of have the smaller fan base, it's like, okay, well, I'd rather just put out stuff that I know will people will like and will sell and be listened to than
just
to have a bunch of stuff.
Our beats, our collab beat was selling well. The Wannabe Friends or whatever, that one. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, that and Yellow Lights. I mean, I remember
Yellow
when
Lights
you sent me that.
It was like,
yeah, Yellow Lights was like one of the first like Mac beats I thought like I made, because it kind of turned me on to like this whole live drum
feel, the live
and
drums,
all this other stuff.
They're nice.
Yeah, that was like the first time I ever really dabbled with that. It definitely was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you've been putting them in some of your other beats too.
Yeah, most of the I use this one plugin, Addictive Drums.
I looked at it.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally just like live drums, but like obviously recorded, and you can lay them out on the MIDI. But it's just a super cool plugin for anyone who wants live drums, because it uses all the keys and they all have toms, snares. Each kit has different sounds. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
For your sound kits, do you like I think I have a couple of, like your Rhodes kits and the sax kits. Do you like create all those from scratch, or is it kind of some repurposed? How does that work?
For the saxophones, I will get like musicians who know how to play and usually play on my beats to send me stuff, and then they get a split of the profits. And then for the drums, I'll usually either design the sound myself, or I'll just have sounds laying around with all the drums, and I'll kind of just manipulate it until it's something a bit new.
Gotcha. And how long do you think it takes you to make like a drum kit? Like from, cause your drum kits are huge. I think when I first bought it, it has like what, 5,000 sounds or something like that. Yeah, it was nuts. I was surprised when I opened it. How long does something like that usually take you?
Well, like I said, I'm not really that busy, so I usually dedicate a few days just to doing it. It was easier back when school wasn't, going on, but yeah, it usually takes like a week maybe of just nonstop doing it and just trying to get as much as possible until I feel like it's, ready.
Ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of your beats come, are they sample based, like splice and stuff, or is it kind of like a mixture of you'll use a sample as a base and then build on it? I guess like, what is like your average beat? How is it built?
It really depends. Sometimes I'll start with a Rhodes sample. I usually start with a Rhodes sample, or I'll make it on Keyscape, and then I'll just get I'll add elements around it, or I'll get. There's this really good site called The Sample Lab that I've found lately, and they have a ton of really good samples that sound just like what I need. So it's usually stuff from there, the Drum Broker, and just stuff like that where I can get them and then add stuff to it and try to make it a bit unique.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree with that. I think Splice is one of the most useful tools like out there right now.
It's underrated.
Oh, for sure. But it's definitely becoming very rated because...
It is.
I mean, yeah. Oh. When I was doing mainly Splice things, you would post a beat and... you'd get a copyright claim because someone else used the same sample.
Yeah, it's like, that's a pain. I hate it.
Yeah. And you always beat them, but still, you got to go and deal with it.
Yeah, it's the way it is.
Yeah. Do you have, like, if you had to give advice to, like, a producer who is making good music and not really getting any plays, what would it be?
Well, it does depend. If they're... A lot of times, if it's on YouTube, it just depends on... how much you're posting. It's not that you need to post every day, but you kind of need to have a schedule so that people can rely on you. And that's how you build a fan base, really, is to be reliable. So I think that if somebody's struggling to make it, they just need to post more consistent stuff. And yeah, that's usually my advice with it. Just try and be consistent. Try and shoot above your weight class as well. Try to collab with people that are bigger than you. Even if they say no, just go on to the next one. I used to do that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Because I think, like, I mean, for me, it's kind of like if the sounds are cool and it's, like, doable, then, you know, because sometimes, like, you or Stoic or someone will send me samples and, like, just I still can't even use them. Like, there's so many times
where
it's,
yeah.
And there's only something you can do with them, but it's sometimes I struggle with that.
No, yeah, it's just the way it is. Some sounds are just kind of hard to use. Sometimes I'll send sounds I can't use or I think are kind of hard to see if somebody else will have a better vision for it.
Yeah, and some people do. I mean, some people are great. Like, I think Bailey Daniel, he's a crazy sound. I think he can take anything and make it sound.
Yeah, yeah. I usually just send him one thing and he can usually use it.
He'll send it right back as a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And did you... So... Odd Status started by you, or was Chase, right?
It was Chase Bank and his cousin, Tide. I think that's his cousin. And then they hit me up. I was the third official member, I believe.
Gotcha. And so how did that progress? How did that get built? And kind of like, where did it start? Because I don't really know too much about it.
Yeah. I believe Chase DM'd me about it saying if I wanted to be in it. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I got added to the group chat. And then we just started asking like a bunch of producers that we thought were kind of unique, you know, not just like a normal regular producer, but like, you know, Versus, Bailey Daniel, who else is in there? At first, I can't remember any of the
names. I mean,
but yeah.
I mean, what are we, I think we're at like 18 people or something now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a cool concept.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any like a producer group kind of like that before. So it was a pretty good idea.
Yeah, and we all have, me and Stoic were texting about this yesterday. It's all like all of us have different genre, like we're all in such different aspects of like producers. I mean, there's obviously some who do trap, some who do boom bap, but like each one has their own spin, their own taste. Yeah, so it's kind of like you can find any type beat in that circle of 20 producers.
We have really musical people. Like, you can play the freaking guitar, and Versus can play like everything.
Yeah, Versus is a beast.
I know, it's insane. He was playing the flute the other day on one of his Instagram videos. It's insane.
Yeah, he has some abstract. Do you play any instruments, or is it all mainly MIDI and stuff like that?
I can play the keys and drums, but it's all MIDI. I don't have any real like plug-in stuff where I can connect it all and do it. I'm not good enough to like,
I mean, at the end of the day, you can, at least now, all you really need to produce now is a laptop, and you can do literally everything with
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's
which is cool, because you can produce everywhere and anywhere.
It's insane.
But yeah, so do you, I guess at this trajectory, like, do you see yourself like after 100,000 just staying with it as long as you can on YouTube, or will you eventually put more effort elsewhere, like maybe Spotify, or like how do you see that, or is that kind of just as you go, you're just gonna go with that?
Well, it would be great if like Spotify would blow up and I could become like one of those legit lo-fi artists. If that's a, you know, like possible, that would definitely be a route I'd take. But as long as, you know, there's money and tight beats, I don't see a reason to stop. It's kind of like, it's just a business, you know. It's like a business little game thing. And I don't see a reason to stop yet.
When it came to growing your Spotify, like, what was, because there's some people who, you know, have a lot of subscribers on YouTube, but it doesn't translate well to Spotify. Like, what was your game plan for building? I mean, you obviously have a pretty good size fan base on there as well now.
I got lucky with Spotify. I was posting these just random beat tapes because I thought it was a cool idea. And then that channel, Steezy as Fuck, my goal was to get on his channel eventually. And he randomly followed me one day and DM'd me about one of my tapes, saying that he really messed with it. So he posted one of mine on his channel, and then we did two more together on his label. And through all of that, I ended up being able to grow a fan base really quick because I just got lucky that he just thought my tapes were good.
Gotcha. So he kind of just signed those couple of tapes, brought them on, and then sent everyone to your Spotify.
Yeah, I got lucky.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, though, that's kind of like how it should be. You just gotta hope for stuff like that to happen, or the right people at the right time to come through and hear your music.
Exactly.
But sometimes it never happens, and that's kind of like the crappy part about music is you really just never know. But I think that if like you keep working, sometimes it'll take some people a year. Like, I mean, obviously I've gained a lot of subscribers in a year, and it took some other people way longer. But you also gotta make. Are you big with like? Do you talk to? I know you have a bigger fan base, but do you talk to like everyone who reaches out to you and emails you and stuff like that?
Yeah, I answer every single one. I'm on my phone all the time, so I got to.
Do you think that's like a bigger reason why you've had like more long-term success, like you've had people stick around, is because you're talking and interacting with them?
Maybe. I don't really know. I always think that my customer service is top-notch because I respond to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like any other business. You want to make people feel respected because
exactly,
they're doing you a favor. Yeah.
That's an important thing, too, that I should have said earlier. Customer service is, you know, you got to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you say like customer service, do you mean just people in general, or like if they have like an issue on your site, or just everything?
Yeah, just everything, really. I mean, if they have an issue, if they want to, I don't know, just really anything. If they're emailing you, just try and be nice as possible and try to come off as genuine as possible, I guess, because I mean, it's just going to do better for you. It's good karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you weren't producing, where do you think you'd be right now? Because obviously, I think you said you're a student, but like, I guess if the YouTube thing never happened, it's kind of like, would you still be making music or?
No, probably not. I'd probably be working some place right now in Arkansas, and I'd be going to college.
And how long were you making music before you started, like, really posting on YouTube, at least? Like, have you been around music your whole life, or was it kind of just you woke up one day, saw some things, and went for it?
I was in marching band in high school, but band throughout a lot of my younger life. So I was around music for a lot, but I posted right whenever I started trying on FL Studio. But I deleted a lot of those, or I think I privated them a long time ago because they're very bad. And I thought that they were kind of too bad to be shown. But yeah, I've been...
you didn't want anyone finding them.
I mean, they were up for... Man, I think I deleted them late last year, but yeah. My latest one, or my oldest one, is from 2017. But yeah, I just did it ever since I started, or ever since I, you know, got FL Studio for the first time. So, you know, I had no shame.
I think because as soon as I got, that was kind of similar with me. It was just kind of like started posting just to see what people thought and then kind of hope that people like them.
Yeah.
And eventually it works out. I think to your point, if you stay consistent, it all kind of...
Yeah,
exactly. That's the key, is putting out quality work as much as you can. That's what's gonna, and be different. I think being different is definitely key too.
Oh yeah, it's so saturated these days. You gotta be different, mm-hmm. at least at the start, at least, and then you can beat trap once you're bigger.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, if you can make like beats, you can kind of make any genre because there's a lot of the same things. It's just different sounds and different techniques and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you had, all right, one of the last questions, but like dream collab, if you had an artist that you wanted to work with, who would it be?
Probably for rappers, it'd be, I've been listening to a lot of Kanye. So Kanye would be cool just because he's Kanye. And Kendrick, probably. Madlib would be dope too. He's my favorite producer. And then.
That would be pretty sick.
For my favorite lo-fi artist is this guy named HM Surf. We've done a track together, but it would be a dream to do a full-length project with him. I think it'd be dope.
Like a full album?
Yeah, we were gonna do it, but he got really busy.
Yeah, I definitely think... The beat tapes are a cool, like, extension to the music. Because I didn't even think people liked listening to them on Spotify.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I think it's because it's your own music. It's kind of, like, weird to listen to it for enjoyment.
Yeah, because you work so long on it, or you hear it so many times, you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, you're so familiar with it.
Exactly, yeah. You kind of get a little tired of it. But, yeah, well, I mean, I think that's all I got. I don't know if you got anything else you want to talk about or share.
What's your final goal in music? What do you want to do in 10 years with music?
My final ultimate goal is, like, recently Eerie Skies became, like, a duo thing, like I said, with my stepbrother, Chad.
That's cool.
And we always talk about, he's just really musically talented. But we always talk about it'd be fun to, like, do, like, one big project, like work like a month on one beat, give it to a massive artist, and then send it out to the world. I think working with artists is more fun because you kind of send them the work and they send back something, and now it feels like complete. It's something that you want. It's like, oh, this is like a whole nother loop. Like, there's lyrics, there's songs. So I think the ultimate goal for me, or like what Eerie Skies is becoming, is like to work with artists in the future. Because I think type beats is fun, but it's kind of like, to your point, it's like really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because you have no control over anything. You don't know, like, if YouTube throws you to the bottom, then you make nothing. No one sees your stuff.
Yeah, YouTube could screw you over, man.
Yeah, and they don't do it on purpose, but it's all automated. Yeah, it's so, you know, if something happens, there's so many people, it's so hard for them to listen to people who don't have, you know, 20 million subscribers.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think that's the ultimate goal, is to work with bigger artists and do some massive like projects.
That'd be dope. Is your channel like a duo now, or is it just like this second channel?
Channel's a duo now. Yeah, it started, I was doing mainly everything up until probably a month and a half ago. I was doing mainly like splice loops, and then me and he's my stepbrother, we've known each other now for 5 years. But he taught me like 90% of what I know about recording vocals and how to do things and learning softwares. Mm. And then we didn't really talk too much. We've always like made music and done little things. And then it was kind of like, oh, well, he can make insane instrumentals and projects and play the keys and guitar. So it's like, okay, let's combine forces. We'll work on everything together. And it's kind of like eliminated the whole beat block, like, creative block. It's just kind of
interesting,
made it a lot more smooth.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's been a lot more fun, and it's kind of like, I don't know, like if you've ever played, like when I was younger, like a lot of video games, and like you hop on a call with all your buddies, you play video games all day. Now it's kind of like we'll hop on a call and make a beat all day.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah, it's like we're playing games. Yeah, so it's
the good old days. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think collaborations are key too, because it's like some people have skills that you don't have, and using those, it's like Versus can play saxophone. I can't. So it's like, oh, if I want a saxophone, maybe I'll see if he wants to collaborate.
Exactly. His stuff is
having
good.
Having those people is definitely key. Yeah. And it sounds nuts, but yeah, that's my goal, is to bigger projects. Cause I like making tight beats and I like doing that, but I think it would be fun to spend like 3 weeks on a beat and just be with an artist and make something like a full song.
Make some crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that'd be dope.
That's about it. Yep. So.
Respect.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, thanks. I don't got anything else.
Cool. All right, well, I guess, I mean, you and 18, I don't even know if this is going to be out, but by the time this is out, you guys have your Gemini beat tape out, right?
Yes, June 13th. This will probably be out later than that, but that's okay. June 13th. Check it out.
Yeah. So that'll be in the link in the description for anyone who wants to go listen to that, as well as all of NK's socials. So go show him some love.
Yeah.
But all right, man. Thanks for joining. It was good talk and cool seeing into how you create your music.